Hello, and welcome to the Popolay Naked podcast. My name is Tamsin Clark, and I am naked, as I hope you are, or will be soon.
Bombs and titties and boons and glitz, nipples and fannies and pubes. I can see a bum hole, see a bum hole, see a bum hole too.
Hello, Popolay Pod Peeps. Thank you so much for joining me this evening for another episode of the Popolay Naked Podcast. It's been a bit quiet for a couple of months, whilst we've been busy with the theatrical side of things. But that doesn't mean we haven't been having lots of naked fun. Indeed, there's been bras, pants, socks and boxes strewn messily all over the living room. And now, with winter very much upon us, we've been huddling nakedly together to keep warm. For this episode, we have done something a bit different, a sort of before and after two-part experience. Our special guest is my beloved sister, Tanya Clark, who is an entrepreneur and international business guru who lives in Malawi, Africa. We recorded the first part of the podcast back in October in South Africa when she was 9 months heavily, heavily pregnant. And the second half was recorded yesterday with a beautiful two-month-old bubba suckling on her ginormous breast. Here's how it went down.
Yay!
This looks lovely!
Yeah, good! I hope it's comfortable enough for you.
Sure it is.
I like it, you just got completely naked. Okay, let's do this. Wow. Tanya's already naked, so there's no ceremony here. But she is 9 months pregnant. Due date yesterday. Let me just get naked. Here we are.
Here we are.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, you're pregnant. Fatty. How are you feeling? What's it like? Tell us about your body. I mean, it's obviously extreme now in the respect that your due day was yesterday. And
yes.
Yeah. Tell us, what's it like being pregnant, 9 months pregnant?
Yeah, man.
In terms of like body and shit.
Well, like, you know, you and I have always been very connected with our bodies in the sense that we've always done sports and, you know, like pretty hardcore sports as well. We've competed, we've you know, you use your body obviously in your art, and you know, I push my body to extremes as well all the time with what I do in Africa. And so it's just been, we're both quite connected, you know, so it's been quite interesting to kind of just feel the changes as they happen. But it's also like a really mental thing as well as physical. And it's like just, you know, kind of wasn't really almost aware of the physical changes early on. It was just, I just cracked on with what I needed to do, kept myself busy because my mind was like, fuck, I'm pregnant, fuck, this, fuck. And I was like, okay, actually, then we've got to crack on and try and finish as much as I can before I get immobile. And then, you know, so I kind of had this, a balance that I had to have with the mental and the physical aspects of being pregnant. But it's only really in the last month that the physical aspects have been, you know, like really poignant. And yeah, you know, the mobility and the flexibility and just the extra weight, you know, like I've put on, I think by now it should be like 13 extra kgs.
The four of them are your child.
Yeah. Like they say, I think 12 and a half kgs is what
you put on.
Yeah, I probably put on a little bit more than that, but that's fine. I mean, it's just...
He's a big boy.
So yeah, it's been a really crazy thing. And I'm like a bit of a, you know, I've always been a bit of a tomboy and stuff, so yeah. It was always kind of a bit weird for me to think about being pregnant and being a mum and all of that.
In what way? Why is that associated with sort of your tomboyness?
Well, I guess, you know, I've never really been a very girly
person.
Mm. You know what I mean? Do you remember when I, even when I got my period, I was like, oh my God,
the world is over.
I was like,
yeah, ooh. I remember you being, it was a really big deal for you.
Yeah.
You were really upset like about it.
Just weird like that. It's
Whereas
just...
I was completely opposite.
Yeah,
I
and,
was
you,
like, wow.
And you love boys and you were fancying boys and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't like boys.
Yeah. So
the tomboyness, you think?
Yeah,
is...
didn't it just sort of always just made me... I mean, I got over it eventually, but I've always been a pretty...
I think, like you say, you're not really massively into kind of the convention of...
No.
Like the female... What society conventionally wants females to be like.
Yeah, no, I've always been very, I think, resistant to that. Mm. You know, kind of even with, you know, marriage and, you know, what I'm supposed... what people say I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. I've always kind of, you know, backlashed against that and sort of said, you know, why should I do that? Or, you know, go off on adventures. And we would play for hours as well in the, you know, like just making our own little event. I mean, I know probably most kids do, but we did it especially.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's, yeah, just sort of, I don't know, I guess I've just had my own little struggles with what being a woman is, what femininity is, and, you know, not necessarily wanting to just listen to others or copy others.
Yeah.
Especially copy kind of what society, say, in a big city like London, was teaching us at the time, you know, and, I sort of felt that I wanted to figure that stuff out for myself. You could argue I was a bit of a late bloomer in that sense. Mm. And even, you know, having a family or a child is, you know, I'm 36.
Six now. Six. Yay.
Six. So I just
what was the deal as well, cuz obviously our listeners don't know, but I was the one that told you that you were pregnant the last time that we saw each other. It was in January or February earlier this year.
Yeah.
You took off your top and you had enormous tits. And I was like, what?
And I don't have big tits.
You don't normally. Well, we've got pretty much exactly the same body, I would say, you and me.
Yeah, you were like, I just want to see you pregnant. I don't even want to meet him. And now he's like giving you a big fuck you.
I know.
And saying, oh, you didn't want to meet me, you just wanted to see mummy pregnant.
I want to see... Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him, but I am spending Christmas, so I feel like I'm gonna meet him then.
Yeah,
it would be amazing to see you go through labour.
Yeah, that's pretty scary shit.
Why? Okay, tell us about why it's scary. What's scary?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like a process. It's a painful process. But I've been doing a lot around trying to release the fear around that and, you know, the pain aspect and stuff, and trying to enjoy that process more, you know, and like kind of see it as something that little Blip and me are going to go through together. And but obviously it's like a big thing.
The nanny getting all...
Yeah, but like your body is just incredible. Like the more research I've done about birth and labour and stuff and the process, the more I kind of think, wow, God, just remarkable how the body is, prepared for this. It's made for it. You know, even just all the hormones, you know, that kind of come into play to actually, you know, achieve the process, even to grow the bloody thing, the little bubba, you know, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, there's this thing in there and he's wriggling and moving around and he's like a fully formed human being. Like, how the fuck did my body do that?
Yeah.
You know, because I've just been running around doing my shit and then, you know, he's in there fully formed as a human being, which means that my body... is like piecing and knitting together all these fibers and tissues and whatever to make this like other human being. And that's like a completely subconscious thing. Like, it's not like it's something that I'm controlling.
Yeah.
And so the body can do just incredible things, especially the female body.
Mm.
I mean, things like pain and the sphere of pain and everything like that, that's, I guess, you know, we all have a masculine and feminine side to us, so maybe that's the masculine side going, oh my God!
Mm.
But I think it's also normal to be a bit, you know, just to be a
freaked
bit apprehensive, because, you know, it's fear of the unknown. I don't know how it's going to go, and... But yeah, it's been I've been so lucky, because you know, since we found out there in South Africa, I didn't really have too much hecticness in terms of sickness or what, you know. I've been running around,
just doing your work,
doing the whole hemp stuff, and actually kind of putting up with a lot of stress as well, and. They say it's not good to pass down to the baby.
You got malaria as well halfway through.
Yeah, well, I got malaria, yeah. Luckily, it was in my second trimester, so you can actually take most of the treatment in that. Yeah, otherwise you do run the risk of high risk of miscarriage.
Mm.
So little Blip's been through a lot, I think, you know, and like in the car and on dirt roads going to the... farm and going just like, oh my God, what the fuck.
But I mean, he's got the best cushion in the world. Your belly.
It's my belly.
He's
my
your belly. My uterus, isn't it?
Uterus.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think I mean, it's been amazing to have experienced it, and this might be my only child.
Mm.
Because my partner Rich has two others, and I think maybe three is plenty.
Are you glad now to be going through the experience?
Now I am. I mean, it took me a long time to sort of, I don't think I would have made a really conscious decision to have a child. It would, but maybe it was a subconscious one. Maybe I did want one, but I didn't want to admit it, whatever. And so, you know, but generally, you know, I'm quite motivated by what I do, and maybe a bit selfish. I love traveling. I love doing all the things, and this is definitely going to change things a lot. But also, you know, with Rich's two kids, it's kind of made us all, you know, tighter as a unit, and having kind of, you know, now revamped our house in Malawi, and just now living as more as a family rather than, you know, me going off for like, I mean, I travel a lot anyway. I go up to the plantation and do stuff.
Travel within Malawi quite a lot.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be nice to maybe just to do that, you know, I mean, it's part of it now, you know, like the baby's here or coming. So it's now a decision that's been kind of made, and you know, I can't just bugger off now. And
do you feel a bit like you're becoming an adult?
No, I do really.
No, I still feel like a child.
No, I feel like it's important to maintain, I think, that childlike element to, or for me anyway, it's important to maintain that childlike element. Like, I want to take the kids and everyone, you know, to festival, music festivals, and play still with them, and just, you know, just have a very, I mean, you have to be responsible, obviously, because they're like tiny little creatures who have no fucking
but that's
idea.
What I mean. I mean, I don't mean that you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be playful Tanya. I just mean, like, do you feel like now there's kind of no turning back in terms of adulthood?
Well, it's a new phase, definitely. But, it, you know, and I've always been a bit slow on the uptake. I even remember when I moved to Malawi, for me to kind of, I identified so much with being a Londoner, you know. We used to rave it up, and we used to party. And we used to sort of, I think mistakenly, in a way, like, identify ourselves with that. Whereas that's not really what you are. I mean, where you're from and what you do isn't really who you are. And I think, you know, but what, you know, how you approach life, and how you view life, and how you, you know, life is an art, is an art form, and how you live that is what is important. And I think that's what's really changed for me, especially in 2013, when I took some time out to really realize all of that. I did ayahuasca, and I did a few other kind of you know, just introspective, you know, things.
Spiritual
things that just kind of, you know, because I needed just to figure out, you know, a little formula that worked for me. And I think that was lovely, because life and everything is scary, really, if you allow it to be. Everything. Right, you know, I've always been, as I say, a bit of a late bloomer, yet I would take risks.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of have this very conflicting sides to my personality, you know. So like just understanding that and also in astrological terms, I've got moon and sun directly opposite each other, and all my planets are in one house of career. So there's no real surprise that I'm a workaholic, or I'm very driven by being of service through my work. But then I've got this male and female, very strong male and female directly opposite each other.
Right.
And so, you know, while I wasn't really harnessing both of those things, my masculine and my feminine, I was, you know, they were fighting each other, and I was ashamed of them, and I was favouring more one side than the other, and not really understanding femininity or the power of it. And then when I just took that time to really kind of embrace that
and connect with yourself,
and yeah, and to really just be like, fuck, you know, I'm wasting so much bloody power here, you know. If I could just combine those two forces together to work together, the female and the feminine and the masculine, I would just be like super goddess, as would everyone, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, when I started doing that, I feel that things really started to change for me, just in the way I could view things, the way I could manifest things into my life. Because, you know, you are what you think.
Yeah.
If you think that you're, you know, not going to be able to do something, I really firmly believe that you then create that reality for yourself. I really believe that, because it's when I, even now, like I go, you know, despite the fact that I'm trying to be more enlightened and live my life more enlightened, you know, if I feel like if I go through a slump and a low phase, I'm like, oh, you know, and you think you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it, oh, no, God, you know, then that's kind of what you attract. So I really do try and maintain a positive outlook. And around the birth, around my life, around everything, I'm trying to get my head in the right space for that. But everyone's got their own ways and means of figuring out what, you know, how to live life
and what it is they want.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I definitely like to have that practical aspect with, you know, the spiritual aspect. It's not all fluffy stuff. So, but I do feel that ever since I kind of just tried to harness that, both, you know, both the masculine and the feminine to work together rather than apart, I just feel more powerful.
And do you think that maybe was a thing in getting pregnant as well? There was that kind of relinquishing the old way of sort of being like, I don't want to conform to
what
I should do.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, well,
because it was funny, because just before you got pregnant, you kind of said to the family that you weren't expecting to have a baby.
No, not at all.
And then you kind of got pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, we were using a rhythm method, which I know is risky, but it was working fine. The issue is that we just got a bit fucked up, and just, you know, and just didn't really think about it, but otherwise, I did just throw it up there as well, and I was just like, well, if it's going to happen, then it will happen.
Yeah. It was kind of nice, but that way.
But I did only do that, like, literally in the latter bit of last year. Like, I did only finally just release. I remember doing a little meditation at the plantation, just being like, listen, Tan, stop conflicting over this issue. Because obviously...
With having babies.
Or having a family and what that meant. You know, should I settle? You know, should I do that with Rich, or... should I do, you know, because he had also two kids from another marriage. What does that mean? And, you know, what am I in the whole scenario? You know, like all those kind of questions, but I would keep myself so busy with work that I wouldn't, you know, like
take the time those to
things.
It.
Yeah, you know. So then it was like obviously a thing for like a good year, where it would kind of, you know, flit in and out, and yeah. So when I, it was almost like I kind of finally just said, "Well, fuck it, let's just see how it goes." But obviously, it does cement us as a family.
I can see a bomb hole, see a bomb hole, see a bomb hole too.
And now, 2 months later, part two. Here you are again.
Hello.
Naked. Thank you for coming back. So the last time that we, well, and actually physically saw each other was when you were 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And you in South Africa.
Yeah.
And you were waiting. I should let everybody know that we are not just the two of us here. We do have little Rex with us.
Little sexy Rexy.
Sexy Rexy. He's not naked though, but...
He's not naked, but he is very happy to be naked.
Yeah. So yeah. What's it been like then? So you were 9 months pregnant. We recorded it, I think, the day after your due day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were, like, super, super human with the belly and...
Yeah, God, I got really big. I got really big.
Yeah.
Especially in the last, like, month and a bit.
Mm.
I don't know if it was mum's cooking or... I don't know, but I got really big and uncomfortable.
And also the baby growing inside you.
Yeah, no, he was putting on, like, 200 grams a week, according to the doctor.
Amazing.
So that's a lot, you know. And he was a big baby. He ended up being like 4 kgs.
Yeah.
And then they
which was a bit, it kind of scared you, that idea at the beginning, didn't it? Mm.
Yeah. So what they say is that actually a baby loses 10% of their birth weight,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like a week after the birth. So he was born 4 kgs and then ended up being 3.6 kgs, but then put it, like, you know, 2 weeks later was 4.3 kgs. So he's a guzzler and he's very healthy. So that's a blessing. And then so I was quite nervous. Like, my experience was that I was having a baby in South Africa, and it's all private there, predominantly. Like, obviously they have a government public system, but it's not that developed. So it was private. So therefore, like in America, they're going to have like this, you know, the risk assessment of situations, and they don't want basically to be sued. So this has led to quite a lot of like elective cesareans, mm-hmm. as well as emergency cesareans and all kinds of things. So I was really gunning for a natural birth, and I did everything, and I spent a lot of money on, you know, kind of just doing... going to see different people to get my head in the right place and just to prepare for birth, and you know,
which is hard living out in Malawi.
Yeah, well, actually here probably would have been the most natural place to have done it, actually, but at the same time, if anything goes wrong here, then you're screwed, you're fucked.
So I
didn't want to take that risk, and it was my first baby. I'm 36. I just, you know, I thought South Africa would just be the best bet. But then they have this thing where, you know, there's a hell of a lot of cesareans, you know. Like,
it was weird because we went to that massage place and they were sort of immediately like, oh, are you going to go for C-section? And then he's like, no, natural. It's like, ooh.
I know.
It was the odd option to choose.
Yeah, but maybe UK's going down that route now. I don't know.
You would think.
Oh, hello, Fluff.
Hello, Monkey.
Do you want to have a feed? Come.
What's going on?
He's just feeling a bit left out.
Yeah, he's like, I want to be naked too.
Come on, my fluff.
Here we go.
Come and have a little feed, eh? What about that?
Which is the perfect. Mummy's completely naked and ready to...
Yeah. Ready to feed.
Nipple in mouth.
So, like, then the doctor said that, essentially, I went a week overdue. He was really unwilling to let me go further, and we'd had actually an argument about it.
And I got really upset as well, because I was like, I feel like he kind of instilled a bit of fear in you.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't... There were a few...
Get the nipple in the mouth.
In the mouth. There were a few things. Like, his head hadn't engaged at all. I was overdue by a week. And his head hadn't engaged at all. And then the cervix hadn't ripened at all, which means you know, that's obviously where the baby comes out, and then it has to get to 10 centimeters. I knew none of this, by the way, before anything, before I've had a baby.
I think even now you probably are just like...
I'm not that good at this stuff. But then, yeah, so I hadn't budged, and so my nanny was not like getting ready for it all. And then so he said, well, the chances of an induction, which means, you know, you're basically trying to encourage the baby to come out by using drugs or whatever, is an intervention, which normally interventions like that will end up in C-sections anyway.
Mm.
And because my cervix hadn't even opened, you know, he said the percentage is really high that it's going to fail anyway. So all these reasons were
kind
of... And
then you'd need an emergency C-section rather
than... Yeah, yeah. So that was the other thing. I really didn't want an emergency C-section because then that's quite panicky.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And you might not have the right people there.
The people and the South Africa, you know, it's still Africa. It's not, you know... So if you... You know, if all of this is happening at, like, you know, 2 a.m, you know, who's going to be available to do everything? And at least this way it was planned. C-section is hardcore, man. Like,
yeah.
It's...
So tell us about that then. So tell us about what the process
was.
Well,
I felt really like a failure. You know, the fact that I hadn't delivered naturally. Like, I did really feel like a failure.
Was that your own feeling, or...?
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, a lot of people have that. It's weird. There's like this whole community of women where you kind of have children and people... including men, actually, are just like, join the club. It's almost like a weird club, but it's a human club.
Right, yeah.
You know, because, like, most humans, I guess, have children, you know? So, like, they're like, oh, yeah, join the club. And they kind of know what you're going through. It's a weird, it's a weird sensation. It's kind of like this humanhood that I haven't really kind of come across, in
okay,
a way.
Interesting.
Everybody kind of just has a lot of, you know, a lot of people have children. And so they understand what you're going through. They understand the sleepless nights. They understand... this and that. So, like, I was really, really distraught about the whole, you know, going for C-section thing. If I'd waited, etc., etc. But then I was on a tourist visa in South Africa. So if I'd waited a long time, then, you know, I might have gone over my visa date, etc. So, like, there were just loads of practical things as well, and, you know.
But in terms of feeling like a failure, like, it's just really interesting, you know, that for me it just makes me feel really sad, because at the end of the day, you know, as long as the baby is healthy and comes out and you're and you're both fine, then...
I guess it was just my own pressure maybe.
It's interesting because on that Instagram thing, I think it's called Empowered Birthing or something, and they just have loads of different videos of all of these different births, including C-sections. And, you know, it's very... I feel like, you know, there are places out there that are, you know, sending out those positive vibes to whatever you choose. Because you've got to choose in the time, do you know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I was actually really... I really thought the pregnancy had gone so well and everything was so smooth, I really thought that I would have just been no problems. But, you know, so if the baby's not engaging and coming out... then in the olden days, that could have meant death, you know, for, like, both of us. Because if he's not engaging, then how do you get him out?
So tell us about how hardcore the C-section was then.
Yeah, like, it's hardcore. It's not for pussies, that's for sure. Like, I mean, you...
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Or war bags, yeah. You know, you get... go into, like, the pre-theatre thing, so you're nervous, it's bright lights, it's theatre lights and stuff. Then you go into the actual theatre and there's quite a few people around you, and you have to have a paediatrician, so when the baby comes out, the paediatrician's the one who takes baby.
Mm.
The doctor is for you. And then you've got an anaesthetist and then all kinds of little helpers running around.
Do you have to go to sleep?
They give you a spinal tap, an epidural. They call it a spinal tap there. So, yeah, I mean... they inject your spine. Actually, that was not painful. Like, the lady did a really good job.
Yeah.
But it was a weirder sensation losing feeling in your legs.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you're just like, oh my God.
Fuck.
Yeah. And they transfer you from one place to the operating table. And then, yeah, they put a screen up in front of you so you can't see. And then they're rummaging away there.
Can you feel their hands inside you?
Yeah, like, you can feel rummaging. And
How did you feel in that moment?
Yeah, pretty scared. Yeah, I was really, really scared. And they open with a laser, so like you can smell meat, you know, you can smell it, like, you know, opening up. But they did a fantastic job. I think it's because it's all laser. They sewed it up again. It was fine. It was like really neat.
Yeah, it looks like a neat scar.
And then, Rich was with me at my end, and just, you know, they're holding me and making, you know, making me being a support. And then when the doc, I think it literally took like 25 minutes or something, and like then the doc was just like, right, you know, the lady pushed the top of my belly and then pushed the baby out of my belly, and then, you know, it was almost like he was coming out of the slit in my belly.
Shit.
And then
I wish you'd filmed it.
I know. And then I heard the cry, and then I literally felt like, because he was so big and I was so big, you know, it felt like such a huge relief.
Really?
Yeah, like a massive poo. Like a massive poo. Like after like a week constipated or something. And then like it actually, you poo it out. And it was just an incredible feeling of like, oh my God, I can breathe. No acid reflux. And then the paediatrician takes the baby and you're hearing him crying and this and that. And I was insistent on skin to skin, which, you know, so the baby came right onto me afterwards and could smell me and know that I'm his mummy. And but he was crying right in my ear. And
what
I
was that like? Were you like, fuck?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. Because
you've not been that in contact with that many babies.
No. I'm not really kind of that gooey and gushy. So, except over this one, but yeah, no, literally it was quite an intense experience. I cried like when they pushed it out, like I cried, just proper tears coming out, just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I heard the cry. So, it was just a remarkable experience. And then they clean you up and they take out the placenta and sort that out. I had quite a lot of bleeding after, which was
from
quite
the nani.
Yeah. So they clean you out, and I mean, I guess that really should mean not that much blood. But then I bled up for like up to 9 weeks after. So then it's quite a long time. Yeah. But I had a clot just above my cervix because it didn't open.
Right.
The blood was just draining out very slowly.
Mm.
So that was that.
And what was it, because with the C-section, when you say it's hardcore, it's because it's like the pain is...
Yeah, so afterwards, it's really hardcore. So that first night in hospital was really intense because he wouldn't settle in the nursery. He wanted to be with me. And I was in so much pain and I wasn't pumping enough drugs into my system. I had a morphine thingy and I wasn't pumping enough drugs. I'm quite thingy about that. Like, I'll take any other drug. But, like, when it's actually proper drugs, I'm like, no, I've got a headache. I must be thirsty. I'll, like, sort it out naturally. But then, and he was just crying and just, you know, breastfeeding is... a mission. It's not something that happens just like that naturally. Like it you know, it's something that you really have to work at and make sure that he learns it as much as you and latches properly. Otherwise your tits are really pain and nipples are really, really sore.
Yeah.
So I was doing all of that the first night, and then Richard and no one could be there in the hospital.
And you can only lie flat, can't you, the first couple of days?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of positions they recommend, but for me, having him like flat on my belly was how we managed to get there in the end. But then he's there, but his feet are pressing on your scar. So just stuff like that. This was not an easy thing to master.
Yeah. And how did you feel over those few first days? Was it...
Yeah, really overwhelmed and emotional. But I think on the whole, I think I handled it, the emotional stuff, quite well. Like I've been a bit teary and this and that, but it hasn't been too hectic. But yeah, you do get emotional, like almost all over the place. And it's just been the most remarkable, incredible experience. But you don't feel that your body's your own really entirely.
And what's it like since then? How do you feel about your body now? Like, obviously at the beginning you're like, oh, I'm fat.
Yeah, well, I've put on weight, and but it's predominantly around the belly because I got so big. But I don't have any stretch marks or anything.
That's amazing.
That's great. And really, it's just about, my belly. and getting all that back in order. So,
but like, how does it feel? I mean, you say like, you know, oh, your body's not your own, and then now it's back to yours again. Do you feel like it is? Or
yeah, well, I'm getting there, but not entirely yet. And it's been 2 months. You know, you don't really feel that sexy or just in touch with your body. I don't know, even though you've done the most like intimate thing with your body that you could possibly do. At the same time, it's sort of, I don't know, I guess it's like macro and micro, or inner and outer. I don't know, it's like a weird, like when you kind of view your body from a certain perspective, but then when you really experience something like you've just done, it's like it's really insular. So they're just two slightly different feelings. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I'm kind of now viewing my body kind of from both those angles, you know, kind of, but especially from the macro, like the outer bit now. Looking and saying, okay, you know, I want to get fit again, and I want to, you know, whereas when you're pregnant or when you're going through birth experience, then it's just about a lot of like subconscious stuff that your body does. It's not stuff that you control necessarily. Right. Yeah, so I guess the way I'm viewing my body, like I have a huge amount of respect for my body.
Yeah.
I think the fact that my pregnancy went so well and it did its bit and it grew such a big healthy boy, even though it couldn't necessarily do the natural birthing in the end, like I'm super proud of it.
Yeah,
and I view it in a really respectful way. And I guess just from that outward superficial point of view, obviously I like to be fit. You know, just like to be.
You did your workout today, and that was hardcore, especially after the scar and all of that, making sure that the abs are not being overworked.
Yeah, so I mean, all in all, I recommend it. But yeah, it's one of the most like crazy, hectic things for a woman in her life, for sure. Like, it's.
How do you feel now, like? In terms of life and like baby and responsibility and like obviously like love.
Yeah.
How is that?
Well, I still kind of feel like a little bit in shock over it all. Yeah. I guess it's
been 2 months.
It is a reality. Like, it's a reality. Like, he wakes me up at night and he feeds and he this and that. But like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel it really like inwardly, and sometimes I see it kind of just really like I have a child. And stoically, I don't know, it just really depends sometimes on my mood. And I definitely can't do things like I did before. I can't, you know, I tried taking him out the other day to town in Lilongwe, and it was just hot, and it was a stupid idea. And, you know, he was just not happy, and then he didn't sleep enough, and then he got pissed off, which, you know, I was pissed off. I was like, that's not a good idea, so we won't do that again. But I just, like, absolute, just complete love. Yeah, I can't believe I manufactured this little thing, wove him together, and he's so healthy and
happy. He's already smiling
a lot, and he's got a lot of love. He's got his two siblings.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, I think, is also, you know, there's not really much dads can do. Like, there is a plenty that dads can do, of course, but, like, I don't think just men are that interested in babies at this stage.
At this age,
like, they kind of are, but they aren't. I don't know, you know, they say that they are, but then they don't spend the time that the woman does with the baby.
Well, and they can't, because he's always with mum.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. But then obviously as they get a bit older, then the interaction changes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So, but I love it. I think it's an amazing experience, and I respect and love myself a lot for what I've been through.
I respect and love so much, both of you. And I'm so proud of you for going through it. I mean, I remember arriving and being like, was that a mosquito?
Oh, let's see.
Yeah, it was a mosquito.
Oh, shit.
Fuck. Yeah, well, let's protect the monkey from malaria.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm really proud of you, Bubba. I was just about to say, I remember, like, arriving and, like, you brought him to the airport, and I was like, I just can't. I cannot fathom But now I'm just so smitten.
Okay, monkey.
With both of
Should
you.
Should we do the other side?
Yeah. No, thank you, my love. I really...
Thanks for coming back on. And
of course. Thanks for having us.
Yay! And yeah. Lexi!
And I'm very proud of you for making sure that this conversation happened.
I was like, can we do the podcast now? Can we do the podcast now? Can we do the podcast now?
Absolutely.
Not that I don't get to see your breasts every single minute of the day.
Well, they're big. Yes.
I know, they're so huge. And yep. beautiful. I mean, if you could keep them like that, that would be amazing.
No, they're too big for me.
I think once you've had little tits, you're like little tits all the way.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Would you exchange your little boobs for big boobs?
No. They're like a pain in the ass. They're sore. They bounce around a lot. Yeah. But I do feel in a weird way sexy. Like they're just juicy and like wow.
Yeah.
But practically, I enjoy having my small boobies.
Mm. Well, yeah. Rex doesn't.
But I'm sure. Yep. He loves them and their bluey, veiny self.
Thanks for having
me. Baby. And there you have it. Lots of pregnancy talk. Thanks again for joining us. Please check out our other podcasts. All our guests are absolutely fantastic. You can always leave a comment if you enjoyed it. And please do feel free to share with friends, family, and naked colleagues. See you next time.